Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We introduce to you our guest speaker who in some ways needs no introduction because Corey Turner is a friend of this house. He's a brother to this house. He's such a dear friend of Ken and I, and there's been a real heart connection over the last few years. And he, if you're not aware of who Corey is, he's an itinerant prophet that has a highly sought after ministry here in Australia and internationally. I know in the last few months he's been in Poland, he's been in Thailand, and that international scope just keeps on opening up for him. And this time he's traveling with his beautiful family in the front row, Simone Turner and Josh. And also his older children are with him this time, Chelsea and Zach, and they've gone off to the 68s program. But like I said in the first service, Simone, we do honour you, like seriously, because guys, every time Corey's here, it's because these guys have released him to be here. And so they say behind every good man is a really good woman, and it's so true in the case of Corey Turner. Can we stand to our feet and honour the whole Turner family as Corey comes?
Thank you so much. Why don't you just stay standing for a moment? How is everyone today? We're good? We're excited about good weather coming in this week. Sorry we brought some bad weather from Melbourne for you last few days, but it's been an honour to be here and just want to thank you for your love and your hospitality. This morning in the 9 a.m. service, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me about someone being in the service today who has been really suffering and wrestling with cancer. And I'm just aware that, again, in this service, I believe that that person is here. And you've been carrying this burden, this sickness, and for a while, and you're growing weary and fatigued and tired. And the Holy Spirit said to me to tell you that He's going to bring healing into your life, into your body, that this isn't the end of the story. And I understand you may not want to be recognized today if you are here, but we do want to pray with you. And I'm just wondering, as a Nations Church family, would we join together in prayer and in faith and believe for a supernatural miracle to come into that person's body today? Those of you who've met me for the first time, you go, how can you say that? Those of you who know me know that when I hear from God, we've got to be faithful to that. If we don't see signs and wonders accompany the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, all we have is a mental knowledge of the truth and not an experiential reality of it. But signs and wonders are a confirmation that God is in our midst. And so why don't we just all lift our hands together as a sign of unity and worship that we believe today for that person's body to be healed. Father, today we join together in prayer. Lord, with that sick person today, whoever it is, I know you're here. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, I command cancer to leave your body and to never return again, for you to go into remission, for you to go into complete transformation and healing from the crown of your head down to your feet in Jesus' name. We take authority in the name of Jesus over this sickness that has been tormenting mind, body, and spirit. And Father, we pray right now that, Lord, all of heaven would invade that person's body. The power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, would manifest in that person's body. And in the coming weeks, we would have a miracle and a testimony to share of your powerful hand, your saving, anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you today that today is a day of miracles. That this is a good day for a miracle in the house. And Lord, I know that the residue of this prayer will begin to, Lord, minister to other people in this room today. Lord, who've wrestled with all sorts of things in the natural seems impossible. But Father, today I pray, as this word goes forth in this place today, in this house today, God, do a miracle, do a sign, do a wonder, do something new in this place, and let us never be the same again, Father. God, I thank you that lives will be changed today as a result, oh God, of this prayer and of this moment in the Spirit. Father, we honor you, we love you, we commit this word to you. May it change us, transform us, and renew our minds. Give us courage to continue what it is that you've called us to in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Come on, let's just honor Jesus in this place as we thank him for his word. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We're going to be back here again tonight. I've written a new message just this past couple of weeks for tonight's service. Never preached it anywhere before, and I really believe that it's for people here at Nations, and I want to encourage you to come back out if you can. But why don't you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, and I want to read a few verses that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia around this idea of perseverance and endurance. The Bible says in verse 6 of Galatians 6, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. Or another, this translation says, if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want to speak to you this morning on the idea of the power to continue. The power to continue. I shared at the 9 a.m. service just a few years ago, several years ago, I competed and completed the Melbourne Ironman Triathlon. And for those of you who may not know what that event involves, it's the same event as in the Hawaii Ironman. It's a 3.8-kilometer open ocean swim. It's a 180-kilometer bike ride, and it's a 42-kilometer marathon run, all done consecutively, all in one day. So needless to say, it is filled with much weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so for some people, their bucket list is to go to Hawaii. For some people, it's to go to Disneyland. Well, those things are cool and great, but I wanted to do this, and so I trained for it. And the day of the race came, and we started the swim, and I was one of 2,000 competitors all heading towards the same turnaround point. And I knew that there was some sharks in Port Phillip Bay. And so I just counted the odds and just prayed that I would be the one out of the 2,000 not eaten. And so we were all headed towards this point. Anyone who's done any sort of open water swimming will know that when you're 1.5 kilometers out in the ocean and it's nearly a 4-kilometer swim, I mean, just to complete that, I thought I'd won the race, okay? And so I have a picture of me. I think we've got it up, coming up the screens. That's not exactly what I had in mind. But needless to say, I got to the end of the first swimming leg and I looked at my family and it was like, yes, I've won. And then it's like, my wife's like, there's 180 kilometers to go. There's a 42-kilometer marathon run to go. Oh, that's right. And so we went and got changed. We jumped on the bike and we completed the 180 kilometers. Then we got to the... Thank you. It's delayed, but you're worth waiting on. I appreciate that. Yes, as you can see there, it's like I've done this thing. I can be finished now, but apparently I had to keep running. So we got to the marathon. And the first 25K, everything was going well. But at the 25K mark of the marathon, felt like a bear had jumped on my back. It stuck its claws into my back. And I found myself hitting the wall. Marathon runners or people who run long distance races will often talk about hitting the wall. And so I think it was about a 4-minute 30 per kilometer pace, went to about 7-minute 30 kilometer pace. And I started to make deals with God. God, I will preach in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. I started to repent of sin I hadn't even committed yet because that's taking prophetic ministry to a whole new place it's never been before. And I just started to do anything I could to try and will myself to the finish line. And I remember in the last 2 kilometres of the run, I started to hear the music at the finish line, and I got my second win and was able to complete the race. But I remember in that period of time of 15 kilometres, there was this sense within me where there was this battle. There was a battle in my flesh. There was a battle in my will to finish what I had started. And I began to think about this in light of how the Bible uses the imagery of a race to describe life in the kingdom of God. And how the Bible uses metaphors of athletic events, 1 Corinthians 9, other places, of this race of faith, this life of faith that you and I are called to. Every single one of us in this room at some point will hit the wall at some point in our lives. For some of us, it will be because of a doctor's report. Others of us, it will be because of a breakdown in a relationship. For some of us, it will be because of a change or a shift, an unexpected turn of events at work. Wherever we are in life, whoever we are, at some point we will hit the wall. And if you haven't hit the wall yet, don't worry, it's coming. And that's not a prophecy. That is a statement of fact and truth. Jesus said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay, so trials and tribulations are part and parcel of our life. The issue is, how will we respond to them? What will be our response? And our response is determined by the substance of our faith. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And some of us need to come into a revelation experience and awareness of understanding how powerful and how potent is this gift of faith that God has actually given to us. You see, we're living in a day and age in a culture where victimhood, playing the victim card, is popular. We see it in media. We see it in the health industry. We see it in lots of different places, in the workplace. We see it in lots of different places. But my understanding, my reading of the Word of God tells me that in 1 John, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. In other words, according to the kingdom of God, we are not allowed to, we're not supposed to. This gift of faith that we've been given, that the incorruptible seed that we have received, doesn't operate by a victim mentality. It doesn't live by I lack, therefore I deserve. It operates by Jesus has done the heavy lifting on my behalf. I've been saved, redeemed, transformed in my spirit. I've received the gift of eternal life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is my faith is the victory that has overcome the world. I am not allowed, according to the kingdom of God, to play the victim card, but I can discover and find a way to be victorious in the midst of the circumstances that I'm facing in my life. I knew I wasn't going to get many amens on that one. I'm being serious. Because everywhere I see, I'm seeing people, and even in the church, we love to assume a victim mentality. And we believe that God owes us something, the church owes us something, because we breathe. And because we exist and because we breathe, the universe owes me something because I've been unjustly treated. And God is coming to us today and He's saying, I want you to begin to think like me. I want you to think and start to approach life like I intended you in the kingdom of God. You see, one of the life skills that we've got to develop as a people of God in the kingdom of God is persistent faith. Persistent faith isn't something that you automatically are gifted with when you become a Christian. It's something you have to cultivate. It's something that you have to develop as you walk with God. Persistence actually means the power to continue a course of action in spite of difficulty and opposition. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that quitting has actually become an epidemic in our culture. We quit, churches, we quit marriages, we quit relationships, we quit jobs. And And there is a difference between quitting and moving on. God will often shift seasons and move us into different times and seasons for different purposes. But there is a difference between that and quitting just because it got tough.
Yeah.
My concern is that there are many believers, there are many people that should be persisting and learning lessons out of what they're persisting in, but instead we are quitting, we're not persevering, and yet perseverance of the saints is one of the great end time calls and prophetic calls for the church, so that we would be able to be those who do conquer, who do have a testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. You can't have a testimony if you don't ever face a test. People want testimonies, but they don't want tests. But what you've got to understand is that unless you persist through the test, you can't have a testimony on the other side of that. And so if you are sick and tired of starting over, here is the word of the Lord for you. Stop quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Just make a decision to stop quitting. Just say, I'm not going to give up when it becomes hard. I'm not going to walk away when I can't see the promise coming to pass. I'm not going to give up just because we're having, it just seems like, never-ending issues in the relationship. I've made a covenant with God. I've made a covenant with my partner. I'm making a covenant in my calling. I'm not giving up. I'm not walking away. And when you resolve in your heart to continue, no matter what life throws at you, you've made yourself expendable. You have made yourself someone that is truly a reflection of the DNA of the seed of the kingdom of God. You see, the truth is we will only persist to the depth of the substance of our faith. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the truth is the substance of our faith must be tested for its purity. We don't know where your faith is really at on something unless it's tested in that area. I remember years ago saying, you know, I just live by faith and trust God with my finances. But then when God asked us as a family to leave a secure job and to step out and live by faith itinerant, which now I'm stepping into my sixth year of, where there's no guarantee of income coming from anywhere, all of a sudden that faith is tested for its purity.
Yeah.
It's tested to see whether it's really at.
Yeah.
And often we as people love to make great declarations about what we believe and why we believe it, but until you face a contradiction to your declaration, we don't actually know where your faith is at.
Yeah, it's true.
And so without testing, your faith will never be complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without testing, your faith will never be seen for the purity for which God has given it to you. You see, some of us are shocked when we face trials in our life as believers. We're like, God, I had devotions one time this week. And I even attended Open Heavens Conference this year at Nations. And I got a word from you like last year. And I'm really nice to people at work. And I buy them like lattes and things. And I grow nice flowers sometimes. And I really care about people. And I even lift one hand in worship every now and then when I'm really inspired and motivated. And the worship team does a great job. And so I'm really, I've done all these things for you, Jesus. I've performed for you religiously. You are now obligated, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to protect me from all of the bad stuff in life. All of the relationship breakdowns, all of the difficulties in finance. I mean, I even tipped you this week in the service and I had a discounted spiritual experience and I got God on the cheap and I did all this stuff for you, so you need to protect me from trials and tribulations. And we're shocked. We're like, what do you mean the doctor's report says this? What do you mean you don't love me anymore? What do you mean? And it's not like God sends bad things, because that would mean he's an abusive father. You've got to come into a revelation of the goodness of God. He doesn't abuse his kids. But we do live in a fallen world. We do live in a broken world. Being a Christian doesn't exclude you from trials and tribulations. Being a Christian gives you God's perspective on your trials and tribulations, and also puts within us the seed of promise that we can believe that in the midst of what we're facing, God is faithful, God, His word is true, and He will sustain us to the very end, no matter what the outcome is. As some of you know, my mother died last year, 59 years of age. For 20 plus years, we prayed and believed. And when she died, I didn't say this thing doesn't work anymore. No, I grieved. I had questions and still on aspects of that journey. But the next sick person that came my way, I still believed in the name of Jesus that God can heal and God can restore and God can transform. I'm not here to explain or justify all the things that didn't happen. All this book says, ask and you shall receive. Have faith. And I can't explain all the mysteries and contradictions. And if you're looking for someone, some church, some preacher who's going to be able to answer all of your questions for you, you'll be searching for eternity. But what you've got to come into is a revelation that the faith that you've been given in Jesus Christ will sustain you to the very end of your life, and you will see some great miracles and breakthroughs and things take place, but it's going to come through the furnace of affliction in our life. I don't see many memory verses on people's fridges. It's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. You don't see someone quoting that just like out of their mouths quite regularly. No, we say things like, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. We love those verses, but we don't like the verses that says it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Because we don't want patience, we just want faith. And we just want answers to prayer and we want all of that to happen. But actually the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Now, I don't know about you, but rejoicing for me, my wife will tell you, is not my default response to trials and tribulations. Is there any unholy, unspiritual people in the room who'll be prepared to be honest and say, maybe every now and then your response to trials has not been yippee, praise Jesus. It's been more like, I'm going to hurt someone. And so rejoicing then becomes a part of a default response in our new creation identity. Not in our old sin nature, not in the flesh, but in our new creation identity. Part of the challenge of life in the kingdom of God is to live according to your new creation mandate, not your old nature of the flesh. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, Galatians says a little bit earlier in Galatians 6. All right, so if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, and then He's teaching us what walking by the Spirit is like. What? We don't give up. Now, I don't know if you've seen the movie Jerry Maguire, but if you haven't, spoiler alert, here it is. It's the story of Tom Cruise getting inspired as a sports agent who manages professional athletes to start his own company and manage athletes the way he thinks they should be managed. He leaves his company and takes with him one of the administrators who they fall in love, they get married, have some problems in their relationship as they're setting up this company. And at the end of the movie, Tom Cruise walks in from a work trip that's gone quite well, but there's issues in the relationship. His wife has all of her friends sympathizing. All of Job's friends are sitting in the lounge room and offering, you know, platitudes and advice. This is what she should do to him and hurt him and burn him and all this sort of thing. And Tom Cruise walks through the door and ruins it for every man in this room from this day forward. Because he walks in and he looks at his wife and he says, "You complete me." Now, all the women in the cinema are saying, "Yes, Tom, you do complete me. If we could just talk about this. Tom, thank you that you complete me." All the fellas are putting their fingers in their mouths, wanting to throw up, because from that point on, there is now unnecessary pressure, Tom, right? Go back to Scientology. There's unnecessary pressure, right, on all of us to now look at our loved ones and say, "You complete me." And then I came home to my wife and she said, "You don't complete me." And I just felt so encouraged and exhorted in the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, the next time that you face a trial and a tribulation in your life, in all seriousness, look at it and say, this will complete me.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? Well, it's not me, it's James 1, 2 and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be, here it is, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, without the trial and the tribulation, your faith will not reach perfection, your faith will not reach maturity, and your faith will not reach completion. And God is not just committed to rescuing us from our problems, He's committed to maturing us for destiny purposes. And if all we do is get rescued and rescued and rescued, we will never mature, mature, mature into the purposes of God's call upon our lives, that we exist more than just to have our world perfect and utopian. But we exist for kingdom purposes, kingdom destinies, which is going to require you to fight some battles and to go through some things in your life. Because Australian culture says it's all about your comfort. It's all about your peace, your prosperity, and your blessing. That is not biblical. That is not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord today is, yes, there are blessings. We are seated in heavenly places with Him. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But the person who wrote that suffered more than any other person in this room. The person who wrote that had whippings and lashes, was left for dead, stoned, and it wasn't because he smoked something. He was shipwrecked. He had his head cut off. He had all these things happen to him. Yet he said, greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. You've got to get a kingdom perspective on what it is that you're facing in your life. You see, faith is like a muscle. Without resistance, it will not grow stronger. And some of you right now are encountering resistance in your life, and we're looking at it as like God's punishing us. Could it be that God actually has more faith in you than what you have in Him? And He's saying, actually, I'm trying to promote you. I'm trying to take you somewhere you've never been before. And although I didn't send this, I can use this and redeem this in your life to become a testimony. Is this helping anyone today? You see, it's not the visible we have to persist in. It's the invisible. It's what you cannot see right now. That's why Paul says in the context of this passage, he says, the one who sows to the flesh, which is visible, reaps corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit reaps eternal life. What we see around us is temporary. What we see is transient. What we cannot see is eternal. When we sow into the Spirit in any area of our lives, out of the leading of the Word of God in our lives, what are we doing? We're sowing into that which contributes life. Jesus is all about producing life in you. Sometimes you can't see the fruit of that straight away. Sometimes all you've got is a rhema, inspired word from God. Go here, do that, talk to that person, go and do this, start that business, start that church, marry that person, do this, do that. And in the seen places, it looks like the opposite of the word, but the Lord wants us to be encouraged today to continue to sow to the Spirit, to continue to sow into the invisible realm, even though the word has not manifested yet in our reality. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the conviction of things not seen, not the things that are seen. You don't need faith for what you can see. You can see it. I don't need faith for that. I need faith for what I can't see. When you're sick, you don't need faith for the sickness. You can see the sickness. You feel the sickness. You've been given the report of the sick. What you need faith for is the healing that's invisible. You can't see it yet. When you're going through a financial difficulty and there's a legitimate financial, you can see it. You don't need faith for that because it's there present. What you need faith for is the breakthrough.
Yes.
What you need faith for is the sowing, is the giving, is the strategic investment partnership. You need faith for what is invisible, for what you cannot see.
That's why Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. What is he saying? Don't grow weary in sowing to the Spirit, the invisible realm. Because what Satan does, Satan's weapon of mass destruction to the church, to the believer, is weariness with a lack of fruit. In other words, we get weary when we cannot see a reward for our effort. We study and we study, we can't see the reward. We sow, we disciple, we witness, we pray for loved ones, we pray for sick, we do this, we do good things, but we can't see the outcome yet, the reward, the invisible hasn't been made visible yet, and so we grow weary, and we want to give up, and we want to walk away. When we first started at the church, it was awesome. We turned up every time the doors opened, every offering we gave, every call for volunteers and people serving, we were there. But then over years of serving and giving, we become tired, we become weary because all the things we were expecting to happen may not have happened yet. That is exactly the time you keep doing good. When you're sowing and preparing for future harvest, there are seasons. That's why harvest is seasonal, not a season. It comes back to my message, pruning, preparation, productivity. Many of us are expecting harvest to just be a season, when in fact, in order, you talk to any farmer, in order to have harvest, you need all the seasons working together.
Yes.
You need to sow at the right season in order to reap a harvest in the next season. How do you avoid weariness with a lack of fruit? Well, the answer to that is found in a story that I believe gives us a great example of this. Team Hoyt is a father and son team that competed and completed the Hawaii Ironman together. And it's a story of a young man, a son, who's disabled, cerebral palsy. He cannot compete himself in the event, but asked his father at 65 years of age to train for this event. At 65 years of old, you don't want to be running a 42-kilometer marathon and a 180-kilometer bike ride and swim 3.8 Ks. You want to watch the race and sip pina coladas and just let someone else do the hard work. Well, this dude is like, you know what? I'm going to do this for your son. And one of the most moving things, he's now in his 70s, still every year taking his son to this race. And one of the most moving images is seeing this father swim in the Hawaii Ocean with a rope tied around him, dragging his son in a little boat, swimming, right? Gets to the shore, picks his son up, takes him to the bike, puts him in a seat, puts a helmet on him, rides pushing his son 180 kilometers, then picks him back up, puts him in another device, and pushes him for 42 kilometers in a marathon run. And as they come down the finishing straight, this young man, tears, ecstasy, the crowd is cheering, screaming, everyone's crying. If you can't be moved by something like that, we need to raise you from the dead today, okay? And as they cross the finish line, you realize that no one of them could have done this without each other. It was a father and son team. The weariness and the disability of the son was only able to finish the race by yoking himself to his father. And I began to think about how when you and I were disabled in our spirits because of sin, dead in our iniquity, our Heavenly Father reached out, gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross and to take upon Himself what we could not do in our own strength so that we could run this race of faith and ultimately cross the finish line. Not because of our effort, our ability, or our strength, but because we yoked ourselves to our Heavenly Father and we allowed our Father to do the heavy lifting on our behalf. None of us get anywhere by our own righteousness. This is a work of God so that no person may boast. We are totally dependent upon the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Bible tells us that if we take His yoke upon us, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. The Bible tells us that even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. But you will not be able to continue whatever it is that God has started in you if you don't yoke yourself. to the presence of God every day? How do you find strength when you're weary? You run to the presence of God. And I was telling you even this morning before the 9 a.m. service, you know, you're a bit tired, you're a bit weary, but when you step into the presence of God and you become aware of what God's doing and the music and the lyrics and the presence of God, all of a sudden it lifts something in you. Yeah. It lifts your spirit. It lifts your mindset. It lifts your attitude. Guess what? You can access that 24/7 every day of your life. You don't need a worship team to wake you up in the morning with Kumbaya, my Lord, and okay, lift hand, tell you when to do this and when to do that. You don't need to have communion every morning and someone leading you through that. How'd you like someone to knock on your door 7 a.m. every morning and just have your own worship team, your own preacher, and your own communion, you know, anchor, host person, and just take you through that? It's be like, wow, this is amazing personal service from Nations Church. No, that's not how it works. But what you do have is a wonderful counselor called the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and is not just committed to rescue you from your problem, but is committed to walk with you in relationship, and he is free. You don't have to pay for therapy session. You just come and consult him any moment of any day that you want, and he will fill you with what you need to finish the race that he's called you to run. You see, why mustn't you grow weary in doing good? Because God's got a due season for every single one of us. Paul said, for in due season, you will reap what? What you sow into the Spirit. Wow. You will reap what you keep sowing into the invisible realm. And some of us ask the question, God, when is due season? I have a word from the Lord for you. Due season is when your season is due. And so we always want to know, like Peter, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know. None of your business. It's not for you to know times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority. We suffer from destination disease. We want to know the end from the beginning, beginning from the end. We want to know the outcome. Why? Because if we know the outcome, we can control the steps. But if you control the steps, you're not God. Yeah. You're God. You're playing the role of God. Yeah. Yeah. But only God actually is the author and perfecter of the times and seasons in our life. And so what he calls us into is a daily relationship of sowing. And sowing and sowing and walking with him. And what he does is he doesn't give us the entire blueprint. He gives you enough light to take one more step. Some of you, even this week, are jumping on a plane to spy out the land and check things out. Guess what? That's your next step. And then you take a step and you step into that, and then you learn some things, grow some things, and then you step out of that into your next step and you go, this is what we must do. Others of you this week are heading into a job interview. Some of you this week don't even know that there's some unexpected news coming your way. You don't need to be afraid of that. Why? Because greater is he who's in you than he that's in the bad news. But you need to be forewarned. And so when it comes, you step with Jesus. Some of us are like, oh God, where have you gone when something bad happens? Rather than saying, God, you knew this before I did. Yeah. But because I'm walking with you, talking with you, living with you, moving with you, and I have my being in you, the same God who got me out of that issue and that problem and that challenge is the same God who's going to get me through this and this and this and this and this. But if I'm not walking with him and I'm just sort of running to him as my rescuer, then I never learn to continue this life of victory that God has called me to live. You see, if you focus on the process, God will take care of your outcome. Let's stop being destination-minded, thinking, when I marry that person, that's when my life will really start. Because those of us who are married in the room know, you marry that person and your life starts, and then 10 years later you look across and go, what have I done? And then that's just me towards my wife towards me. And so if you constantly think, when I or if I get, or when that happens, that's when my life begins, you are suffering from destination disease. Yeah. Yeah. But as you get older, you realize you get there, it happens, and guess what? Life continues. Yeah. Yeah. The journey continues. Yeah. Because actually, the destination is the journey. Yeah. It's not when you arrive somewhere, it's just walking with Jesus in every season of your life. And sometimes we hit some bumps in the road. Sometimes there's some cyclones and storms and hurricanes. And things are going crazy. But in the midst of it, we're walking with Him. He's staying faithful. We don't grow weary in doing good. You see, due season comes when you reap a harvest from what you've already sown yesterday. I cannot expect to reap a harvest today if I haven't sown yesterday. We are the first generation that expects to reap something because we simply are breathing. I deserve because I exist. No, that's not how the real world works. Amen. That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by sowing and reaping. I can't expect to reap health in my body if all I'm sowing is chocolate mud cake. As nice as it is. I prefer lemon meringue pie, but let's just go with chocolate mud cake. All right, I can't expect to reap a great marriage if I don't sow into it. I can't expect to reap generosity back into my life if I'm never generous. It's not about, you know, performance and reward. It's just a principle of the universe. So the best time to sow for your harvest was yesterday. But what many of us do, particularly as we get older and we realize we're running out of time, we get filled with regret and go, I've missed it. I've missed the opportunity. I've missed that Kairos moment. No, let me tell you something. The story of the Bible is the story of God does not care about your biological clock or about our chronological clock. What God cares about, can He find a person of faith that will walk with Him and stand with Him and believe with Him no matter what it looks like yesterday, today, and forever? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And rather than living with regret over what I missed out on, over what I lost, I'm going to start sowing today. I'm going to sow today, and I'm going to believe that a harvest will come tomorrow. But that harvest is conditional upon one word: if. If you do not lose heart. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season you'll reap if you don't give up. If you don't lose heart. You see, anyone can start well in life. At the Ironman starting line, when we're all there before the swim, everyone's patting each other on the back and have a great race. It's going to be awesome. Oh, you're going to do so well. And everyone's, you know, chipper and chirpy and happy. Well, at the 25-kilometer mark of the marathon, if anyone was going to be chipper and chirpy to me, I'd knock them out because I'm not interested right there and have a great race. You're going to do well. No, I'm going to kill you because I'm like in purgatory right now, right? This is not a good place. I'm suffering. There's torture. Why did I pay for this, for goodness sake? They called it a fun run. It's not fun. And so, you know, at that moment, there's got to be something more than just have a great race. Be a nice Christian. Attend a nice Christian church and hear a nice sermonette devotional that just peps you up to get you through the week. No, you need something of substance. I remember when I'm watching my kids at school run a cross-country race and all the kids line up at the start line and it's a 5K race, but they start that like it's the 100-meter dash at the Olympics. And they're straining every muscle and every vein is popping out of their head and kids, you know, and they get to 100 meters and kids just, you know, start crawling and collapse and pick their nose and eat it and just wander off the school grounds and get water and throw water at each other. And parents are just there going, what kid have I brought into this world? And as you're watching this, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, immaturity, son, travels at an unsustainable pace to finish the race. So if you're going to run this race, not only does it require a decision of faith to continue, it requires you to run sustainably. And many of us are running so hard that we feel like we're burning out, and God's coming to you and saying, no, you need to tweak some things as you move into 2018. You need to actually make more time for me. You see, when you face opposition, many of us do one of two things. We either try harder to overcome it, which means you've got to give more effort, or we quit. No, choose another alternative, just pray more. Just pray more. Don't try and overcome it, don't quit, just run to His presence and say, God, I'm not going to make any impulsive decision, I'm going to get Your download for what I need for this situation, and I'm going to travel at a sustainable pace, because God has not called you to simply start, He's called you to finish. One of the most amazing stories that I heard that inspired me is a marathon runner by the name of John Aquari. It was at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. He was a favorite to win. And it gets to the 10-kilometer mark of the marathon. He's in the lead pack. He stumbles, falls, lands on the curb on the side of the road, hurts himself, gets up to run, cannot. He's hobbling along. The lead pack runs past him. The media crew run past him. And everyone thinks, who's watching the footage, that it's the end for John Aquari. Even the reporters are saying this. Well, an hour after all the other runners cross the finish line in the Olympic Stadium, people are exiting the stadium and they fail to realize that there's someone who's still running. John Aquari runs into the Olympic Stadium to do his final lap of the marathon. There was a motorcade sort of leading the way because it was just on dusk. And the few hundred people left in the stadium come down to the finish line. They're clapping and cheering as John Aquari crosses the finish line. A reporter runs up to him and says, "John, why did you keep on running? You didn't have to. No one expected you to keep on running." He said, "My country did not send me to Mexico to start the race. My country sent me to Mexico to finish the race." Yeah. And I'm here to tell someone in this room today that God, the creator of the universe, did not put the seed of life in you for you to simply start the race of faith and to check out halfway and say, "It's too hard, it's too difficult, I cannot continue." God put the seed of faith inside of you. He put an incorruptible seed inside of you called the kingdom of God. And when everything in this world can be shaken, the kingdom that you've received cannot be shaken. And he says, "I called you, I created you, not to simply start something, but to finish it." He even promises the good work that I have begun in you will be brought through to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. But it is a partnership of your faith and his spirit in order to see us have the same testimony as the Apostle Paul when he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Yes. And whatever you're facing today, whatever tap out circumstance you have right now, and you're saying, "God, I tap out, I'm done." God's coming to you today saying, "Yeah, you might want to give up your own flesh, but guess what? And in your own strength, but this is where my strength continues on from here. Yoke yourself to me, run to me, and allow me to sustain you and to strengthen you to finish this race of faith that I've called you to." I want to invite you to stand with me today. And as this word goes out, I'm aware that there are people in this room who are facing some real painful challenges that you might be sitting there going, "Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but you don't know what that person said to me. Yeah, but you don't know what I've faced in my life." And the truth is, I may not know, but God knows. And the Bible tells me that Jesus resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. He knew what it was like to be under so much temptation from the enemy, so much pressure from his calling and his destiny to even sweat like drops of blood. He knows what it's like to endure the scorn and shame of the cross, and yet because he had the joy of you and I in relationship with him, he went through all of that. And I reckon if we could just sit down over a latte today and have a conversation, you'd be amazed at what I've been through in my own life. We've all got a story in this room, is what I'm trying to say. We've all got something we've been through. We've all got a we've all got a reason to give up. Yeah, it's true. We've all got a reason. True. But just decide today, I'm not starting over. I'm not walking away. Not because of some self-help philosophy, but because of the incorruptible seed of faith that lives on the inside of you. What is the dream that God has put in your heart that you want to walk away from? What is the relationship? What is the ministry? What is the call that you haven't seen materialize yet? What's the word that hasn't come to pass yet that God is coming to you today saying, "Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap if you don't give up." And today in this room, I want to exhort you, pick up your Bible again, pick up your prayer life again, pick up the baton of faith again, and run with everything within you. Why? Because we are living in a day and age where the world does not need a church that quits and walks away from their generation. The world, the generation we're living in, needs a persevering church. It needs a persistent church. Why? Because this is more than just us and our journey and our stuff. This is about the salvation of all humanity. This is about the times and the seasons of the beginning of the end, where we see God's purposes consummated and the kingdom of God manifested in our midst. It actually requires the perseverance of the saints more than ever before, maybe in any other generation. And sadly, what I'm seeing is so many people pick up their stumps and walk away and say, it's too hard, it's too difficult. And they just join the majority. And God is coming to you, Nations Church, today and saying, no, your future is too amazing. You got too much at stake. This city of Perth, the city of Phnom Penh, and the nations of the world need you. And so God is coming to us today and He's saying, hold your ground. Run this race. Yoke yourself to the presence of God. Cultivate this character skill of life persistence and watch what God brings into your life. Can we just sing? Can we just worship just for a moment before we go any further? I just want to invite you just to create some space right now to just worship and allow this message to go deep into your heart before we go any further.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.